of you that are visiting with us today, and we appreciate very much your presence here this morning. Mary Skowski has been out because she had back surgery for some time and had a lot of problems with that. We're thankful that she can be back today. Sorry about your sister who passed away. Continue to encourage everybody with the work of the Lord. As I was sitting up here, and I'm just thinking about everybody and looking over your heads and kind of looking at the audience that I have this morning. You know, it's a wonderful thing to preach the truth. And I want to do that always. And if you ever find that I said something that's not in harmony with the will of the Lord, you tell me about it. And I guarantee you, if I find that I was wrong, I will admit it, ask God to forgive me, and never preach it again. I'm reminded of a man that we have in the audience this morning. His name is Al Burns. He preached a sermon not long ago. And he said when he got ready, when he was standing up here in the beginning, he said, "I'm preaching this sermon to myself." Al, I told Al later where to put that sermon in track form. I really enjoyed it. But every preacher should, I think, have that idea. That is to preach a lesson. And when you preach a sermon, especially a sermon that deals with your life, truly you're preaching to yourself. God's words matter concerning salvation. Other people's words matter. And when we go to the Word of the Lord, we have a whole lot. And surely we know words are so important. And they truly matter. What we say, we got to say the truth. And as I was preparing the sermon, I was just telling Buzz a little while ago, one of the things that I wanted to do was find an illustration. An illustration found in the Bible that helps us to see why a lesson like this is so applicable and so much needed by all of us. And that example was, as he read so well, words that these two people made. And there's another passage in that Jesus makes the statement in Matthew chapter 12. In verses 32, 36, and 37, "But I say unto you," now listen, it's Christ speaking. "And Christ said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." I found an interesting note on the computer where someone said they'd ran across a statistic that shocked him, and it shocked me when I read it. And it was, he said that a person will speak, the average person will speak each year 11 million words. Wow. I don't know where he got that statistic, but if it be true, at the age of 65, you'd have an accountability to God for some 715 million words. Why did Jesus say what he did? Because he means it. It's because of words that matter. No wonder we can read about Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them agreed to lie. Don't ever lie. They both agreed to lie, and they went through the whole thing. And both of them died. They died because they didn't speak the truth. Words matter. And my friend, speech is one of the greatest endowments of humanity. And the greater the gift, the greater the sin of perverting it to unworthy purposes. It would be impossible to sum up all the sins. And I thought, what sins with regards to the words that we speak should we talk about today? But it would just be impossible to use them all. It must appear even to the casual thought of it that words as used by millions constitute the bulk of human shame and wickedness. James says, if any stumbles not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Beyond everything else, man should watch what he says. One's words can justify when they confess Christ, or teach the truth, or serve to make peace, bestow a blessing, or give encouragement. But on the other hand, watch those words to cast a reflection, condemn, subvert the truth, utter profanity, vulgarity, hatred, or malice, or any one of the many other things. Then such words bring the condemnation to those who speak them. Surely, words matter. In the very outset of the sermon this morning, I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to myself. Your words, my words, God beholds them. You're going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account for what we say, how we say it, why we say it. The Word of God is true. It furnishes us and instructs us in all the way of the Word. There's a passage that is a real favorite memory verse of mine. It's written by the psalmist in Psalms 19 and verse 14. The psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth," all right? We're talking about words mattering. My words matter. Your words matter. We're going to have to give an account to God for it. And look, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We want our words to be acceptable to God. Why? Because God hears everything that we say. We ought to hide his word in our hearts, so that we may not sin against God. Psalms 119, verse 11. We live life by ideas, and words are the pieces of which ideas are built. Words can poison. Words can heal. Words start and fight wars, but words can make peace. Words lead men to do great and good things, and it also leads men to do great harm. Nelson Mandela wrote, "It is never my custom to use words lightly. If 27 years in prison have done anything to us, it was to use the silence of solitude to make us understand how precious words are and how real speech is in its impact on the way people live and die." There are certain phrases that you can use that can really lift up and help people. There are certainly the Word of God to be used at all times. You heard that old saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not true. It's not true at all. Why? Because words can and do hurt. I mean, really hurt. What you say. Take, for example, telling a lie. I heard a story about a woman who was hosting guests for dinner. She decided to serve chicken. So she told the butcher she'd like to buy chicken. The butcher opened his freezer case and saw only one chicken. He put it on the scale and he said, 2 pounds. Oh, the lady responded, "I want one bigger than that." So the butcher, wanted him not lose the sale, took the chicken off the scale, put it back in the freezer, pulled up the same chicken, his last chicken, and said, 3 pounds. And she said, "I'll take both of them." What's he going to do? You get yourself caught when you lie. Friends, all of these descriptions of words. You know, we've got to be so careful because the new international version from Matthew chapter 12 uses acquitted. I like that. "For by your words you will be acquitted." Wouldn't that be great to know that God says to you and to me, "You are all right. You spoke the truth. You lived by the truth. You helped everybody by speaking and encouraging them." But how terrible it will be that by your words you will be condemned. I like to play Scrabble with my 93-year-old sister. I've only got three sisters left. I have nine in our family with four of us left. But she is so particular about words. And I'll make up a word sometime. And I'll put that down and she'll say, Guy Phillip, said, that's not a word. I said, oh, sis, I think it's a word. She said, get the dictionary. Check it out. And just almost every time, she's right. Words. Oh, let me tell you, they do matter. God's words matter, and so do our words. And our words are to be acceptable to God, acceptable to men, and also acceptable to each other. Now, the first one we're going to talk about is angry words. How many of us have to admit this morning that we've hurt people by the words that we've spoken because we were angry? And we said words that we wish we wouldn't have said, and we're sorry that we did. What can angry words do? I love this song. Angry words, oh, let them never. From the tongue unbridled slip, may the heart's best in both ever check them ere they soil the lip. Steve, leave that song. Everyone just said, stay seated. Let's sing together, Angry Words.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soar the lip. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior.
Angry words. Oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they saw the lip. You need help, don't you? So do I. When you become angry, what should you do? I hope that we'll learn something. We'll stop before we say anything. And remember what it can do. Because love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly thus to desolate and mar. Don't say it. Don't do it. Angry words, they're lightly spoken. bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Who have you hurt? Who have I hurt? When I said something out of anger, hurting others, words matter. Yes, for their hearts steadeth destruction in. Their lips talk of mischief, God says in Proverbs 24, verse 2. Look what we need to change. We need to change curse words into pure words. We need to make sure that the filthy words that sometimes some of us may have said will be cleaned up, and our words will be clean words. Bad words. We want good words. We want our children to know they can depend upon us by what we say. Uncaring words, thoughtless, sympathetic, understanding words. Words of hatred. May it never be. Hate not a single one into loving words. No wonder Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Cruel words can be changed into comforting words. Know how we all need help with the words that matter. Here's a good practice. And that is, before we say anything, ask ourselves the question, is it true? What I'm about to tell you, am I about to tell you the truth? And will it really help? Is this going to help that individual to whom I am now addressing and saying something? Is it inspiring? Will it lift them up and encourage them? Is it really necessary that what I'm about to tell somebody, that I even tell it at all? And above all, am I being kind? Is it kind? Oh, look at the Scriptures and the Word of God. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That was written by God as He inspired the wise man in Proverbs 25, verse 11 to write it. Can you imagine anything more beautiful than there would be pictures of silver that have apples of gold? And no wonder a soft answer turneth away wrath. But words that are grievous and hurtful stir up anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Get a hold of ourselves. When we answer anyone, the words we use, we must make sure they're choice words and they're words that surely will lift us up. In Proverbs 15, 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? And then we read in the word of the Lord in Proverbs 23, 16, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things, things that we know are right, wholesome, and good. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Have you said something sometimes that you would give almost anything to call it back? Take a little while. Make sure that we're careful about what we say and how we say it. In Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply thy heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Arthur Gordon was cleaning out the family home when he ran and came across something he found to be of great value. It was a trunk, and it was full of family letters. I don't know about you, I love to go back and read letters. My mom written in her own handwriting. Maybe my sister, some friends. I keep a bunch of them. Reading letters. And when he found this trunk full of letters, dating back for years and years, he found out that in the days gone by, people would write letters to one another, and here would be some of the things they would write. One writer said, "Have I told you lately what a wonderful person you are? Never forget how much your friends and your family love and admire you. Wouldn't you love to get a letter like that? How important you are. And to have somebody that you treasure write that in a letter to you." Or another letter said, "You don't know how much your visit meant to us. When you left, I felt as if the sun had stopped shining." And Gordon said, "You know what? I don't know why we don't do that in our family now as it used to be done." Words can build us up or tear us down. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, Proverbs 16, verse 7. We need to ask a few questions. Guy McDaniel, preacher of the gospel, have you had words that hurt someone else? If I've ever hurt you, I pray that you'll come to me and tell me, and I'll apologize and ask you to forgive me. Have your words ever caused someone to turn away from Christ? What you've said and how you've said it, has it caused somebody to turn away from the Lord? Oh, I don't want that to happen. Have your words put someone else down to the point that you've stifled their self-esteem and their confidence because you left the impression that you expected so much out of them, and yet yourself, you don't really measure up? Have you been wounded by words? Words that hurt cause us maybe not to even sleep sometimes? Have you been hurt by constant abusive language? Words matter. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. God said that in Ephesians 4, verse 29. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those that listen. Listen. Be careful. A barber in a small town was busy cutting hair one day, and when the local cop walked in to get a haircut, the barber was feeling a bit generous that day. So he said to the cop, "Since you do such a good job protecting others and watching over us, today's haircut is free." Who doesn't like something free? And the cop said he appreciated that. The next day when the barber showed up at his shop, there were a dozen donuts waiting for him. In walks the local florist. The barber tells him how much he appreciates all the work that he has done around town, planting bushes and flowers and making the town look real nice. So he gives him a free haircut. And the next day the barber shows up at his shop. There are a dozen flowers waiting for him. Well, the news got around to the preacher. In walks the local preacher. The barber tells him how he is feeling generous that day and how much he appreciates all his hard work with the children and taking care of the needs of the people. And so the preacher gets a free haircut. The next morning there's 12 preachers waiting for a free haircut. Nothing from them, but just spread the word around. Now, I said that to one of the brethren back there, and I hope he appreciates that. We preachers, I know, sometimes we don't always express ourselves as well as we ought to. Words. Cause of increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, God said in Matthew 24 and verse 12. Friend, I'm asking you this morning, what about your words? Will you before God and will I this day, if we're called before His throne, and have to give an account of our words, what will He say? Will He say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord? Or will He say, by thy words, thou art acquitted, but by thy words, thou art condemned? I love that picture. As we get older, words mean so much. After Ann was so sick and then got better, I just confess to you, I can't tell her enough how much I appreciate all she's done for me in my life. Words hurt, but words can lift us up, build us up. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. Why not this morning use your mouth and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Hear the Word of God and believe it. Repent, confess Christ, and be baptized, and live faithfully in the service of the Lord, so that someday you might have that wonderful hope of being with God. Don't miss that. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe with thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Yes, and be baptized. Live faithfully, just as good as you can. When you make your mistake, admit it. Let us all be willing to admit it and ask God to forgive us. In conclusion this morning, I looked this up on the computer to be sure that it was right. It struck me as being a very interesting occasion. Western Oregon University's Sarah Tozoski had no idea that the first and, as it turns out, home run of her career would cause ripples that would make her last swing of the bat as a college softball player a national media sensation. With two runners on and her team down a run to Central Washington University, Sarah hit a home run to center field. As she rounded first base, she missed the tag. And when she turned to tag the base, she injured her knee. Able only to crawl back to the base, Sarah was told that she would be called out if her teammates came to her aid. If a pinch runner checked into the game, her home run would count only as a single. And they're behind two runs. Players and fans alike were stunned when the team that Sarah was playing, Central Washington's first baseman, Mallory Holtman, the conference's all-time home run leader, asked the umpire if there was any rule against opponents helping an injured player around the bases. And she was told there wasn't any. And together, listen to this, together, Holtman and shortstop Liz Wallace picked up Sarah, carried her around the bases, stopping at each bag to allow Sarah to touch it with her good leg. And Holtman said, it was the right thing for us to do. She said in an interview on national television, after the respectful act of sportsmanship had been witnessed by millions on ESPN and become a U2 sensation. The three runs sent Western Oregon then, Sarah's team, to a 4-2 victory, ending Central Washington's chances of winning the conference and advancing to the playoffs. It's a great story, Western Oregon coach Pam Knox said. Something that I'll never forget. The game's about character, integrity, and sportsmanship, and it's not always about winning and losing a ball game. As it turns out, the players who helped Sarah had no idea of the circumstances surrounding the at-bat or that the story would make headlines around the country. We didn't know that she was a senior or that this was her first home run, Wallace said Wednesday. That makes the story more touching than it was. We just wanted to help her. The gesture left Sarah's Western Oregon teammates in tears. I hope I would do the same for her in the same situation, Sarah said. Central Washington's coach Gary Fredick called the act a sportsmanship unbelievable. In the end, it's not about winning and losing so much, Hopeman, who initiated the act, said. It was about this girl. This girl had hit a home run. She'd hit it over the fence. She was in pain. She deserved a home run. Will you help somebody? Will I? Will we use words to encourage them to live faithfully in the service of the Lord and then to show them that we care? Will we lift the burdens and help as children of God to draw closer to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? The invitation of Jesus, the greatest invitation any person can ever have. Won't you accept and obey it? Won't you do that right now as we stand and while we sing?